come to me and said, "Preacher, been request you sing that song. I appreciate the theme and the emphasis of that songwriter's words. And surely it ought to be the desire of every child of God to want to die on the battlefield. Don't make no difference if you're a preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, mom, dad, choir member, whoever you are. You ought to want to die on the battlefield facing the enemy. I want to say that I appreciate the preaching tonight. I appreciate Brother Eric. I've known him for several years, and I appreciate the challenge to my own heart. Christ left us an example, and we should follow in his steps as Peter challenged us to do. And then I want to say too that I echo what's already been said. I appreciate the sacrifice and the time that's been spent by people here at Calvary Baptist Church so we could come and worship together, sit down and eat together. I've been fed both places, and I appreciate everything that's went in to make this meeting what it is. I can understand that. I know what it involves, and it's a joy to see a church that is involved in making a meeting what it is, because it's not just the fact that Brother Allen stands and moderates a service and wants to have a meeting for the church. The church has to be part of it. The church has to have a heart for it. And that's been evident, and I appreciate that, and appreciate your pastor and his family, and how God's used him across the United States. I mean, preaching everywhere. And I want to tell you, don't ever put any reins on him. Just let him preach. He'll come back here and he'll be preaching better to you, and you're going to benefit from it. You're going to reap the blessings from it. You just pray for him. He's the first missionary of Calvary Baptist Church anyhow. And wherever he goes and whatever God does, you're going to reap on the benefits. And I just urge you to pray for him and hold him up to God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 36. And I'll not be long at what I do. I want to deliver you my heart tonight. This is the last service. I understand that. The last message. But if you'll just give me your attention for a few moments, I believe in some way God could speak to our hearts. Oh, how he met with us last night. And I saw God touch people's lives, and what a blessing that is. And what a blessing to see people respond to the Spirit of God when he puts that urge in them and he puts that direction in their life. And that is something that is wonderful, something that is missing in a lot of Baptist churches today. If you would, tonight, you're willing and able, would you stand at the reading of God's Word. Appreciate folks from our own congregation being in the service. Appreciate my wife being with me again tonight. And that's always a blessing. But I want to read this verse. One verse in Genesis chapter number 36. "And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah." This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. I'm going to read that verse again. It says, and these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Anah. This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. I'm going to ask Brother Danny White, deacon at our church. Brother Danny, would you pray for us tonight?
Father, we want to thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. It's so good, Lord, to be able to walk in and hear the man of God expound on your word.
Oh, yes.
It is a privilege, Lord, to be in this place tonight. We thank you for loving us and saving us, giving us life eternal. We ask again now, Lord, that you touch your servant.
God,
and give him liberty, Lord, put him in the cloak of his calling. Lord, help him deliver his soul tonight. Help us, Lord, give us attentive ears to the preaching of the word of God. Touch his servant. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I am sure that probably most everyone under the sound of my voice sometime or another in your Christian life you have awakened on a Sunday morning. Or you are preparing to come to revival meeting. And on the inside, you felt like God was going to do something special at God's house. I have had that experience in my own life. In fact, I believe your pastor said last night that he came with an expectation that God was going to do something in the service. And I want you to know God surely did not disappoint your pastor last night. And God did not disappoint you when there was that sense of urgency and expectation in your heart, and you could not wait to get to the house of God because you felt like God had something special he would do in the service. But here in the scriptures that I've read to you tonight, there is a son by the name of Anah. He ain't looking for nothing. He ain't expecting anything. All he's doing is looking after his father's animals. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, he discovers some mules in the wilderness. For you see, there are times in our Christian experience when we're not looking for God to do anything in our life. There are times when our mind is not focused or set on God accomplishing anything for us. But all of a sudden, God comes from our blind side. God comes from our backside. And with his mighty hand, he touches our lives and he pours out help and blessings that you and I cannot contain. I bless his name for that tonight. I have been in services before that have been just as dead as they could be. And you weren't looking for anything to happen. All you was praying for was the amen to go home. Wasn't nothing happening. But all of a sudden, somebody hit a note on the piano, sing the first word of some song. And all of a sudden, God invaded the place. And the power of the Holy Ghost prevailed over the service. And God unexpectedly shows up in a mighty way. I want to preach tonight on unexpected blessings. I'm glad for the times when the Lord has come to me when I didn't have any inkling he was anywhere around, and unloaded those daily benefits in my life and in yours. Three things I want to say tonight concerning this scripture that I've read to you. First of all, I want you to note that unexpected blessings come in a place of ministry. A place of ministry. The Bible says that it was while Anah was feeding the animals of his father Zibeon that he found some mules in the wilderness. Wouldn't you like to find some mules in the wilderness tonight? Oh, there's some unexpected blessings that come when we're filling our place of ministry. A lot of folks have become idle. They become lazy. They become apathetic. And their hearts have grown cold. And their place is no longer filled faithfully at the house of God. They've done quit the choir. They barely get to Sunday school and seldom get back on Sunday night. Oh, tonight, but thank God for folks who are laboring, folks who are busy in the work of God. Hey, you're a prime candidate. Somewhere along the way, you're not going to be looking for God, but God's got his eye on you. And the Lord's got some mules in the wilderness. It's a place of ministry. Now tonight, there is an element of authority. You see, these weren't the animals of Anah. They were the animals of Zibeon, his father. And Zibeon had demanded from Anah to go and feed his animals. And Anah had submitted and surrendered his will to the will of his father. And tonight, in a place of ministry, we're going to have to learn authority. We're going to have to learn submission. We're going to have to learn, as the preacher says, dying to ourselves. Tonight, Anah was doing what his father had commanded for him to do. And tonight, we must learn that the Father has authority over our lives. And whatever He demands, whatever He wills, should become what we desire and what we want to do in our life. Now you can rebel against authority. You can rebel against mom and dad. You can rebel against the church. You can rebel against the man of God. And I doubt very seriously if you ever find any mules in the wilderness. But if you'll bow to the authority of that blessed book and bow to the authority of God's man, hey, somewhere along the way, when you're least expecting it and you need it the most, the Lord will come by your way and send some mules and send some help for your life. There's an element of authority. But let me say, in this place of ministry, there is also an element of affection. You see, in this verse, we don't have a master-slave relationship. In this verse, we don't have an employer-employee relationship. We don't have a teacher-student relationship. We don't have a general and private relationship. No, sir, we have a father-son relationship. And not only was he bowing to the authority of his father, but there was an element of love and affection in Anna's heart in fulfilling the desire of his father. I'll tell you one thing about the saddest Christian I've ever seen is that Christian that has to serve. They have to come to church. They have to teach that class. They have to go in there this Sunday. I've got to sing in the choir. If I don't, they're going to be asking what's wrong. I've just got to go to church. If I don't go to church, they're going to be a knocking on my door. And I just don't explain why I really don't want to come to church, so I just make myself go. I want to tell you one of the saddest sights ever to see, but I'm glad when you do what you do because you're in love with Jesus, because you love your Father. Hey, it's a joy and a gladness to your heart. Hey, that makes a difference. And somewhere along the way, you're going to need to find some mules. You'll not be looking for them, but the Lord will send them your way. There's an element of affection. There's an element of authority. But then there is an element of activity. I mentioned that in the explanation of the place of ministry. You see, Anna wasn't sitting on the stool to do nothing. And by the way, Anna didn't let ages idleness keep him from doing what he is supposed to do. Yeah. For the Bible said he had a brother by the name of Aja. You couldn't find Aja nowhere looking after the animals of their father. It is only Anna. Did you know there's a lot of folks in church, they can't serve the Lord because of what somebody else hadn't done or have done. Hey, tonight, we ought to be active in our service for God, whether anybody else wants to or not, whether anybody else is fulfilling their duty or filling their place. We ought to want to be where God wants us to be, being busy, laboring and toiling, and whatever capacity we can as a child of God. Activity. And I guarantee you, somewhere along the way, you're going to need some help. You're gonna be hanging your head low. You're going to even feel like God has forgot about you and that God doesn't really care. And all of a sudden, he's going to broadside you with a wagon load of his grace and with the hand of his presence in your life. You'll find some mules in the wilderness. I'll give you a biblical example. There's Jesse. He had 8 sons, and he took 7 of them with him to church that day when Samuel had come to Bethlehem to anoint one of his boys king over Israel. It's sad Jesse didn't think David ought to go to the service. Of course, there's a lot of Baptist folk feel that way today, too. They leave the children out of church. I just tend to believe you ought to keep them around church. Why, it'd have been a sad thing to be in what we was in last night and some of these youngins not get to see what the Lord was doing in grandma's life and grandpa's life. Hey, you say, preacher, they small and little. You let the Holy Ghost get around. It's no telling what the Lord might put in their little heart. You just don't know. But you know where David was? He was out there doing exactly what his father Jesse told him to do. Looking after them sheep. And there's having service. And Samuel sees Abinadab and says, surely, or Eliab, and he said, surely this is the Lord's anointing. Well, look how big he is and robust, how tall he is. And the Lord said, he ain't the one. And then Abinadab comes along. Lord shakes his head, nope, he ain't the one either. Shammah comes along, and the Lord refuses him. And the other 4 sons come along, and the Lord says, not one of them. Samuel said, are here all thy children? And he said, behold, the youngest is keeping the sheep. He said, go fetch him. We're not going to sit down till he come hither. Hallelujah tonight. Glad I can identify with that fetching business. I'm glad for that night when the Holy Ghost come a fetching after me and seized hold of my heart, saw myself a sinner. I say hallelujah tonight. Hey, there's some unexpected blessings. They said, David, you're wanted at the worship service. And David goes to the worship services. He walks right in. Samuel looks at him, and the Lord said, this is he. Anoint him. Oh, Samuel uncorked his horn of oil and poured it on David's head, run down the sides of his face, onto his shepherd's cloak. And David had no idea that morning when Daddy Jesse said, go look after the sheep, had no inkling he had ever be anointed a king, had no thought that he'd ever be blessed in such a way, had no thought he'd ever be honored like his being honored, but I'm glad he's doing what the Father had told him to do. And if you'll just be active, if you'll just be in there somewhere along the way, the Holy Ghost may come and fetch you and bring you to a place of blessing. Place of ministry. Number 2. It's found in a place of monotony. Now I had to look that word up to know how to spell it. I knew what it meant. I'd watched enough of Foghead Leghorn as a little boy. He said, a monotony is just like backing up to a bracing bit. It's boring. And that's what monotony is. It's just boring. I knew what it meant. I just didn't know how to spell it. But I just want to say, sometimes The Christian life is monotonous. Same old, same old. That's the way it is. We come to church same day every week. And now some churches meet at 10, some meet at 9:45. But we come at the same time every Sunday. Well, some of us get there at that time. I don't know if all of us do or not, but some of us get there at that time. Same, same old, same old. Then we'll have 11 o'clock worship service. Preach out of the same Bible. I'm still preaching out of the same Bible. I believe your preacher's still preaching out of the same Bible. Amen. We're singing the same songs. Have you ever heard people say, I wish they had sang something else? I mean, sometimes it gets monotonous. I mean, they've sung that song four Sundays in a row, and it takes 15 minutes to sing all seven verses. Just monotonous. And then we come back to church on Sunday night. Well, some of us come back to church on Sunday night. Not everybody. Have service at 6 o'clock, and then we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Same time, same place. Just the same old, same old. And we come to church, and nothing ever happens. I've been to church a lot of times when nothing really took place. Just, it was monotonous. You say, preacher, how do you get monotony out of what you've read in this scripture tonight? Well, it's not really in what I read, but it's what I didn't read in this chapter that's so monotonous. If you ever have trouble going to sleep, you go read chapter 36 all the way through. You can't pronounce all them names. It's just one man begetting another man. I mean, he begets a son, and his son begets another son, and these dukes and earls, and everywhere in this chapter, there's nothing going on but people begetting sons, and you can't even pronounce what their names are most of the time. It's just monotonous. It's the same old, same old. It'll just wear your eyes out. But I'm glad right in the middle of this chapter, there's an old boy doing something for his father, and he found some mules down in the wilderness. And I'm here to tell you, sometimes we feel like, why do we keep praying? Why do we keep going back to that same prayer place? Why do we keep teaching that same Sunday school class? Why do we go into them little children and try to tell them there's a Savior that loves them? Nothing ever takes place. But I'm here to tell you, just stay with it. Praise God somewhere. In all of that monotony, I'm glad God's got some mules in the wilderness. There have been times we've sung Amazing Grace and nothing happened. But you come in one Sunday morning and go to singing it again, and it gets real to you. And all of a sudden, heaven opens up, and God's glory fills the place. Hey, I'm here to tell you, right in the monotony, the Holy Ghost can send some blessing joy. Let me give you this example, and I'm moving to the third point, and I'm done. Remember, Jacob had to leave home. Esau's going to kill him. He is heading toward his uncle Laban's house. And he went to sleep out there in the wilderness. Probably scared to death, thought Esau would track him down. Because Esau was a hunter. I ain't no hunter. I'm probably more like Jacob. I'm sort of a homebody.
But Esau was a hunter, and out there he's laying down on them rocks, and all of a sudden he goes dreaming a dream, seeing a vision. And there's a ladder that reaches all the way to heaven. Down to earth, there's angels ascending and descending. And Jacob wakes up and said, surely this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. He is scared to death. And he set up those stones, poured oil on them, said, I'm going to anoint this place to be the house of God. And he left Bethel after having that vision. And he had about 300 miles to the country of Laban. And take him probably at least 14 to 18 days to travel to his uncle's house. The Bible does not record that he ever had another vision. He had to travel about 20 miles in a day, traveling over rough terrain, laying himself down on stones again. But no vision ever come. Woke up the next day, the same sun shining on his life, hot and dusty and dry, going across mountains and through the valleys. Nothing occurring. I mean, he lays himself down. There's no vision. It's just the same old, same old. But I'm glad one day he just kept on walking. And one day he spied some shepherds there keeping some sheep. And he said, do you know Laban? They said, we sure do. Is he well? They say, is he doing well? And by the way, yonder comes his daughter with her few sheep. And you know what old Jacob done? He goes to looking at Rachel and he falls slap dab in love, head over heels. He's lifting the stone off of the well so her sheep could get watered. It took three or four men to get that stone off. But old Jacob had fallen in love. He had found a blessing in his life. He had to go through that old monotonous journey. But he kept on walking. Hey, there are times you'll come to church. You'll think God's nowhere around. You'll think God's not hearing your prayer. You'll think God's not interested in your life. But one Sunday morning, you'll walk into God's house, and all of a sudden, it's like God sets you down at his table, and you got a name tag right there, and it's got your name on it, and he goes to serving you, and he goes to feeding you, and he goes to blessing you. I say, hallelujah. Amen. There's some mules to be found. Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Place of monotony. Number three, and I'm done. Young be getting a song ready. Ever how you want to do it. Come on to the instruments, because I'm fixing to wrap up. It's in a place of maroon. The Bible said that he was in the wilderness. Didn't say he found the mules at the cattle sale. You can find mules at the cattle sale. They got them. He didn't find them there. He wasn't looking for them. They found him. I like it when the blessings find me. Amen. He is in a wilderness, an isolated, desolated spot, away from everything, out there in the middle of nowhere. And I doubt very seriously that Aja knew where he's at, but God knew where he's at. Father knew where he's at. Place of maroon. Now I'm going to make a confession right here. Some of you's going to lose me. But I have watched Gilligan's Island before. Now, I know that's a lot for some of you to swallow, but I have done that. And that little jingle comes on at the first, you know, them getting in the storm, and it says, and they're marooned on a deserted island. They don't know where they're at, and nobody else knows where they're at. They're marooned. They're out there in the middle of nowhere. And tonight, sometimes we get in a place where we feel like nobody knows where we're at. Have you ever felt like people, they don't understand what I'm facing? They don't know what I'm going. You don't have an inkling what the man of God goes through to pastor a local church. Nobody's got an inkling. They just don't understand. You can't really identify with it unless you do it yourself. And sometimes you feel like people just don't really care. And you get that way. Sometimes you think the preacher don't care. Sometimes you think the church don't care. But I want to tell you, there'll never be a time that the Lord doesn't care. And He's the one we're serving anyhow. We ain't a serving the church. Ain't a serving the preacher. We're serving the Lord. And He always cares about it. But when we're out there in the middle of nowhere, glad God has His eye on us. And even in the maroon places. Did you know God can cut timber off of a bald mountain?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Did you know God can draw water out of a dry well? Did you know God can get flour out of an empty barrel? And God can dip oil out of an empty cruse. Hey, I'm glad when you're in a place of maroon, it doesn't limit God's ability. There's some mules in the wilderness. If you'll just stay with it. Give you this. I want you to stand. We're done. Love the book of Ruth. And I probably said this before, but I just love the book of Ruth. She went out full, but she came home empty. She heard there's barley harvest in Bethlehem. She makes her way back to Bethlehem. Ruth goes with her. And this is my interpretation. They come to the marketplace at Bethlehem. And I can see some of the women with their hands over their mouth and say, is it all that, is that Naomi? No. I believe that is Naomi. I believe it is. And Naomi realizes they're talking about her. She said, don't call me Naomi. Said, the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, but have come home empty. And that's the way chapter 1 ends. She's empty. She's barren. But I read chapter 2 one day. I like to expand in my study. Verse 1 said, now Naomi had a kinsman, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Abimelech.
Amen.
And his name was Boaz. Hallelujah. When she thought she didn't have anything, she is empty, she is in poverty, she didn't have nothing, she is out there marooned. I'm glad she had a kinsman redeemer by the name of Boaz. Hey, when I was lost and undone, I didn't have nobody. I thought I didn't have nobody. I'm glad I had a redeemer. Glad I had a savior. Hey, there's some news to be found in the wilderness.
Amen. Amen.
Just stay with it. Keep looking after the father sheep. Keep serving. Keep preaching. Keep singing. Keep praying. One day you're liable to walk in and God will send some mules by your way. Maybe he's spoken to your heart tonight while we sing. Brother Bob, would you listen to his voice?